Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It's hour number two on a Tuesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. By the way, I interviewed Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. I think it was Friday. It's on my podcast network. They were so funny. They are so exactly as you would predict. Eli Manning forgot the interview. And Eli's like, you're absolutely killing me. It was big brother, little brother, and their personalities were on display. We are so lucky. Those guys have such good comedic chops. I mean, they could literally be a comedy team. They're so funny together.
They've always had a very good natural ability to not take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And it's not forced. Like, some people try and, I don't care, but you can
falsely
tell, like,
humble.
It's like, yeah, it's really bothering them, but they've always had that sort of just awareness of their personalities and leaned into it.
And it's really amazing. So Cooper Manning, who's also funny, his son Arch is a high school quarterback phenom. So you're going to have Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and then Cooper's son, four NFL quarterbacks. And that's just in one American family. Isn't that crazy?
It is, especially at that position. I mean, you see this sometimes with families.
I mean, obviously some families are very, very athletic, but like the
Watts.
Yeah, like TJ. But think about if we had two other Watt brothers and they were both like excellent. It's just.
Antetokounmpos.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is... Or if that was Joy Taylor for our radio listeners, as you know. So this is my final Herd hierarchy into the season. We only had two real big injuries in the preseason. Nobody's playing starters. So I considered everything. These are what I see today. I don't think we're going to have any injuries before Sunday or before Thursday's game. These are the 10 best NFL teams. My final preseason Herd hierarchy.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to college. Number 10.
Okay, what coach dominates young quarterbacks? Bill Belichick. The AFC East now has rookie Zach Wilson. Tua starting in his first real full year, and Josh Allen still a fairly new quarterback. I got New England 10. Listen, they added to their tight end and wide receiver groups. Belichick, the schedule, not overly formidable. The division is going to be a defensive-led division. Outside of Josh Allen, most of your best players in this division, besides, Josh and Stephon Diggs, they're defensive players. And I think the best defensive team is going to be New England. They ran the ball almost 52% of the time. I don't think they're asking a lot of Mac Jones. It's the deepest running back stable they've had. It's a very good offensive line. There's a lot of teams I could put at 10, but I truly think the Patriots are undervalued. I think it's an 11 or a 12-win team. If you look at the schedule, I have New England 10.
Number 9.
The Colts. I do worry about some of their vaccination issues, but don't forget, they've added Carson Wentz and Eric Fisher. So they're more athletic at left tackle and at quarterback. Don't forget that at the end of last year, they had two emerging young stars, Jonathan Taylor running back, Michael Pittman receiver. They were also one of five teams to be top 10 in offense and defense. This is a rock-solid organization that simply needs more athleticism at quarterback, and with Wentz, they have it.
Number 8.
Green Bay. Okay, they were 0-2 against Tampa. They were 14-2 against everybody else in football. My concern is their offensive line. Left tackle David Bakhtiari. Out. PUP list for 6 weeks. Corey Linsley. Chargers. Left. Pro Bowler. Right tackle Rick Wagner. No longer there. Running back Jamal Adams. A very good number 2 back. This offense has some real issues. They're a Devontae Adams tweak from not being nearly as dynamic. And I do think the division is slightly better. The Vikings will be better. So I have Green Bay at 8.
Number 7.
I'll go Rams. I don't want to go too crazy on the Matt Stafford stuff, but I will say this. Sean McVay has won 67% of his games in, I believe, the toughest division. I think he's a really good coach. I also think their defense was number one scoring defense in the NFL and the number one total defense. It overwhelmingly returns. I do worry about the Cam Akers injury, but I do think Sony Michel is about 80% of Cam Akers. I think this is a very good team. I'll keep them at 7. I don't know if they're great.
Number 6.
Seattle. Dwayne Brown is in and playing left tackle. Tremendous player. That counts. Should also be mentioned, at the end of last year, in the final 8 weeks, this defense was the number one scoring defense in the NFL. Pete Carroll and the fellas got it figured out. They also had 7 Pro Bowlers. That was tied for the most in the league. They have upgraded their offensive line with Gabe Jackson and the addition of tight end Gerald Everett. This is a Super Bowl-capable team. I have them winning their division, albeit barely over the Rams.
Number 5.
Ravens. Schedule's a little dicey early. 3 of their first 4 on the road, and I do worry about losing a couple of running backs. Gus Edwards now will be the bell cow. I'm not sure he is. But let's talk defense for a second. 10 of their 11 starters on defense return, and they were the number 2 scoring defense. I think we often overlook Baltimore's defensive side because of the dynamic nature of Lamar. That's all we pay attention to. And their tight end sets and their O-line. It's a really good defense, and they almost all return.
Number 4.
Cleveland. I think Cleveland-Baltimore is a coin flip. What I worry about Cleveland, 7 new defensive starters. Now, I like them. I think they got really good players. I just don't know if they're going to be gelling in September. I think by October, November, Cleveland's going to be really good. I also think we have to be honest. Odell Beckham is often hurt, but he's not now. And that is a pop offensively that we did not see with this offense late last year. Odell Beckham wasn't around. So let's Jarvis Landry's great. So they're going to be offensively could be really special. Don't forget how good Beckham is when he's healthy.
Number 3.
Buffalo. They return all 11 starters on defense, and they went and drafted 2 rush ends in college. That's my issue with them. Can they get pressure on the quarterback? They addressed it in the draft. They returned 21 of 22 starters. This is right now a very formidable, well-run organization. And I think they have so many young players that are ascending. No chaos. I mean, it wouldn't be crazy to say that Cleveland and Buffalo, believe it or not, are 2 of the best 3 teams in the AFC for a long time. I really like this organization top down.
Number 2.
Kansas City, they have 4 new starters on the offensive line. That worries me. So does the fact they were the worst NFL red zone defense. They allow touchdowns instead of field goals. Stuff like that matters as we see young quarterbacks getting better. Josh, Baker, Herbert, Lamar. This AFC now, I don't recall a time in my life it had this many great young quarterbacks. So situational football, field goals over touchdowns could be the difference between winning a division and being a wild card team. That's why they're 2.
Number 1.
It's Tampa. That's obvious. Let's remember what seized the moment in the Super Bowl. It wasn't Brady. It was the defense. I think one thing that's overlooked by Tampa is their consistent pass rush. They were the only team in the NFL last year that had 4 different players with over 6 sacks. And yet, what did they do in the draft? They went and got Joe Tryon from Washington, a wiry and quick edge rusher who was very good in the preseason. This is the best. Now, it's not as talented with as many first-rounders as Washington. But in terms of athletic players in their front 7 that get to the quarterback, they added a piece to an already significantly difficult defensive front to defend. I think it's the defense and Todd Bowles, who I think is an excellent coordinator, which will carry this team. It will not be Brady. And there's my herd hierarchy. Okay, Daryl Moose Johnson, 3 rings, Dallas Cowboys, Fox Sports. He's got the Vikings and the Bengals week 1. That's Sunday at 1 Eastern. He's now joining us live. All right, any of that herd hierarchy make no sense to you? Any of that you just said, oh, coward, that's nonsense. Any of it make sense or not make sense?
No, I enjoyed it. I thought there was a lot of good points. I agree with you with Buffalo. I've been high on Sean McDermott to hire there with Brandon Bean for a long time. I think they've done a tremendous job. And for a guy from Western New York, it's good to see them back at the top of the NFL teams.
You have the interesting perspective on something I'm going to ask you about here, is that being on a Super Bowl champion and a high-profile team like Dallas, I always used to say with Muhammad Ali, everybody got his best fight. Like everybody that fought Muhammad Ali when I was a kid, it was the biggest fight of their career. When you're the champion, you get everybody's best fight, everybody's best punch. Go to the years following Super Bowls for you. The following year, what Tampa will go through now. And there is no sneak in the side door. It is, oh, here comes the best team in the league. Is it more difficult?
It is. And when you add in the fact that it's not just them as defending Super Bowl champions, but also everybody wanting to take down Tom Brady as well, it is challenging. And you have to be, your margin for error shrinks even more as a defending champion. And we saw that a lot during our run. I remember one of the times, I think we were 8-1 against the LA Rams, and they were 2-7, and they came into Texas Stadium and beat us. You know, we just didn't play well. So you can't have those little mistakes. Everybody's gunning for you. I know it sounds cliche, but there is a lot of truth to that. And I think when you add in the fact that you've got Tom Brady as quarterback, I think that just adds to it for the opponents.
So you have Joe Burrow in week one. And this is it's funny. I don't know what Zach Taylor is as a coach, but I did think when they played teams last year where they matched up okay, that they were very competitive. I like where Cincinnati's going. I think it's a really tough division. When you pour over film and you look at this Cincinnati team, where do they need gaps filled, Moose? Where do they need to elevate, and where do you like them?
I think the big thing, and we saw this a lot last season, it really comes down to how well you're playing in the trenches. And we can just go to the Super Bowl, and you got into that matchup with what Tampa Bay was able to do to the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw it in Dallas with all the injuries that happened early in the year and how that offense fell apart. You know, Dak was able to keep it going for a while till he got hurt. But the guys up front are really what drives the team. And I think that's the one area that Cincinnati has really focused on. They brought in Riley Reiff, kind of hold down the tackle spot, spent a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. Larry Ogunjobi brought in from Cleveland, Trey Hendrickson from New Orleans. They've got to get better at stopping the run, especially the division that they're in. That's going to be one of the most important things. I think that's one of the things that we'll see against Minnesota. Minnesota was a top five running team last year. One of the things that Cincinnati wants to get better at is stuffing the run, because they play Cleveland, Baltimore, and you know Pittsburgh's going to go back to some of that old school style with Najee Harris as their top draft pick. So, you know, being able to stop the run, being able to protect Joe Burrow, that was primary with everything they did in the offseason, was we have got to do things to protect Joe Burrow and keep him healthy all season.
By the way, the Vikings are at Cincinnati. And I believe Mike Zimmer's a very good coach. I do think their San Francisco and Minnesota last year fell apart physically. And every year in the NFL, we not only have four new playoff teams, four come in, four go out, but we have a team that doubles their win total every year in the NFL. And I kind of feel like it's Minnesota this year, that I really like Zimmer. I like the staff. Again, what do they have to do they didn't last year as you pour over film for your opener?
Well, the big thing is they've got a lot of guys back on the defensive side of the ball. You're right. They were really hit hard by injuries. We talked a lot about San Francisco, but Minnesota was in a very similar situation. When you talk about, you know, Mike Pierce opted out, you know, Anthony Barr goes down in camp. You know, it was unbelievable for him. You know, just a number of guys on the defensive side of the ball that weren't there. It was one of the worst ranked defenses, if not the worst ranked defense in Mike Zimmer's tenure. So that's the area they're going to be focusing on, is to get back in touch. And one of the odd things is even year seasons, Minnesota has struggled under the Mike Zimmer regime, but they've always bounced back in the odd year. So we got 2021 coming up, so they should be able to bounce back. But again, I think exactly what we talked about with Cincinnati, it's going to be similar with Minnesota. It's going to be that offensive line. A lot of changes in the offensive line, and Christian Darrisaw, is not going to be available week one. The guy that they drafted in the first round to be their left tackle as an anchor. So, you know, how does that offensive line play? Because that's what was driving that team last year. You know, it was the offense that kept Minnesota in some of those games, you know, obviously for the first time, much better than the defensive side of the ball, you know, for Mike Zimmer and his team. So, again, I think it's going to be what happens on that offensive line. Defensively, they're going to take a huge step because they've got a lot of guys back and a lot of guys healthy.
You know, Moose, when you live in the Dallas area, so you hear the radio, you read the papers, you see this team discussed a lot. And listen, Hard Knocks or not, last 20 years, they've been good, never special, disappointing, rarely awful. I do worry about the Dak shoulder issue. He hasn't taken a hit in live football in 11 months. Your kind of thought on Dak's health and where is Dallas today for you with Dak, their comfort level? What do you expect this year from your former team?
Well, you know, I expect the offense to be good. You know, there's a lot of talk about Ezekiel being down, being quicker, being more explosive. I thought he got off to a good start last year. I think the fumbles really got into his head and it impacted his running style as much as anything. For Dak, I think he's going to be similar to what we're going to see with Joe Burrow in that Cincinnati-Minnesota game, is just having people around his legs while he's in the pocket looking downfield. You know, how quickly does he get comfortable with that? There's so much that goes on at the practice facility that we're not aware of that give the coaches confidence, and you have to understand and you have to believe that component. I think the big thing about the shoulder, and you bring up a good point, I think what a lot of people are worried about is the Cowboys immediately went to rest right away, and that was one of the things that they were told by everybody in baseball that they went to, because this is something that's more consistent with baseball and with pitchers, and it was rest immediately. The quicker you get on it, the quicker you rest it, the better chance you have for this not being an issue during the course of the season. So did they get on it quick enough, and did they have enough time to get that rested and healed? I think that that's something we're going to have to wait and see and let that play out all season long. Where are they going to end up? They've got an opportunity, you know, to win the NFC East. They really do, but they've got to stay healthy. They're the typical team that's up against the salary cap that doesn't have a lot of depth. They did a good job weathering the storm last year in certain areas, you know, trying to fill some of those holes from what happened with all the injuries they had during the course of the season last year. If that happens again this year, you could see something similar, but I think they feel a little bit better because guys got snaps and they were able to address it with better people. I think they're going to be much better on the defensive side of the ball with what Dan Quinn has put in place there. Obviously, there was a big emphasis in the draft. I think they've got better personnel fitting the scheme than they had last season. So that's going to be a big plus for them as well. So I think as a team, offensively and defensively, they should be good. But we can't forget about special teams. And that's an area that I think there's a little bit of concern there for me. You know, John Fossil and what his group did last year, they were very inconsistent at times. You know, Greg Zuerlein coming off of back surgery in the offseason. There's a little bit of unknown there, and it comes really down to kicker, punter, and long snapper, your three key guys when you talk about the special teams components. So if they're able to stay healthy, because I think the depth is still not there as a team that's pushed up against the cap, you know, that's going to be the biggest thing. If they stay healthy, I think they can be very competitive in the NFC East.
Good stuff, Moose. He's got the Bengals this week hosting the Vikings. Two teams trying to bounce back, especially Minnesota, Sunday, 1 Eastern on Fox. Moose, great seeing you.
Always good to see you, Colin.
By the way, a fascinating stat that nobody talks about because it's boring, but it is fascinating and basically eliminates you from the Super Bowl if you're in this space. One number, 1%, just takes you out of the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, the NFL is back with a huge doubleheader. First, Jalen Hurts leads the Eagles against the Falcons. Then in America's Game of the Week, Aaron Rodgers leads the Pack against Alvin Kamara and the Saints. It all kicks off at 1 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
So I want to say this. What I do with my Blazing 5, which debuts Friday, I get about 7 games. And I find 7 games I like immediately, and then I just, over the course of the week, I pare it down. I'm not going to lie to you. Atlanta is one of the two best bets on the board this week. Now, as Joy rolls her eyes, she has the same birthday as my wife, so they have the same sensibility. They're Capricorns. So my wife gets very frustrated with me when I do the same dumb things over, and Joy is rolling her eyes at me. So I have not won an Atlanta Falcons bet in 28 years. So, but that Falcons bet against Philadelphia comes out on my little power grid as the second best bet of the week. So I have to consider it in my seven because I have to be loyal to the numbers. I'm not loyal to my history. I'm loyal to the numbers. It's the second best bet on the board. Just saying.
It sounds like you're loyal to losing.
God, you really are, Ann. It was snarky put back. I threw it out there to be vulnerable and got crushed. Anyway, so Blazing 5 debuts this week. Atlanta's a really good number, you guys.
Why don't you let me take Atlanta? Maybe I'll change it up.
We could give it a new name. Blazing 5 and Joy 2.
And Joy 2.
Joy with the news. No. Can you get me water?
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Rams open their season Sunday night against the Bears. I can't pick my favorite game this weekend. There's so many great storylines and things to pay attention to.
How about Tua against Mac Jones?
I can't wait.
Great game.
Can't wait. Well, Andy Dalton has obviously been announced a starter, QB1, but Sean McVay is prepping for both quarterbacks just in case Justin Fields gets some playing time.
I think it'd be naive for us not to prepare for, you know, them to be able to utilize him in some form or fashion. But Andy's a winning quarterback in this league. And then you see the ways that Justin, you know, made a lot of plays going back to his career at Ohio State, what he showed in the preseason. And so I think you got to be ready for either or, but it's going to be a challenge for sure.
I don't think we're going to see Justin Fields unless
you don't think so at all. Not at all.
Maybe it's like a special package or something. Like, think about how badly it would have to go for Andy Dalton for them to yank him in game one after all of this buildup about him being the starter.
And Matt Nagy, this matters, comes from the Andy Reid tree. What's Andy known for? Great Septembers. Right. Matt Nagy has been a great September coach. So I don't think Chicago's going to be incompetent. They'll move the ball. Right. It'll be a competitive game. The number's out of whack. It's Chicago, by the way, is my number one graded power play of the week. 7.5. Chicago's going to keep it close. That is a ton of points to give Chicago in week one.
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I look, people aren't excited about Andy Dalton. But Andy Dalton is not an incompetent quarterback. He's not great. He's not a high-end starter, but he's completely capable.
He won 4 or 5 games for the Cowboys last year on a defense that was awful, and he had to get into shootouts.
Yes, he's completely capable. So unless it is a complete and utter collapse, I don't think that we're going to see anything significant from Justin Fields. I think if it is, it'll be something similar to what Shanahan is doing with Trey Lance, where they put him in for a package or some type of play. But I don't think that we're going to see him out there for any significant amount of playing time. Now, that said, if Andy Dalton isn't great, like, I think Andy Dalton is going to be competent and it's going to be comfortable. I think the Rams will win. I don't think they're going to win by that many points, but I think that they will win. So then next you have the Bengals at the Bears and then the Bears at the Browns. If it doesn't go well over those two games, I think around Lions at Bears might be a place where they insert Justin Fields if things aren't going well. If things are steady, I don't think we will see Justin Fields until the middle of the season.
Yeah. I predicted Mac Jones wouldn't play, so my predicting is off.
Is off, yes. Yeah. Well, yes, but in all fairness, there were some circumstances unforeseen that kind of aided that along. So TJ Watt has not participated in practice with the Steelers throughout training camp as he waits for a contract extension, and his availability for week one with their matchup with the Bills is reportedly in doubt because of these ongoing discussions. Mike Tomlin did say this morning he's optimistic about a deal getting done before the start of the regular season, and Watt confirmed at the start of camp that he does hope to stay in Pittsburgh long term. He's due $10.1 million in 2021. That's the final year of his rookie contract. So he will be the 75th highest paid edge rusher next season.
And he's a relentless player.
In average annual value, he led the NFL in sacks last year with 15, quarterback hits 41, tackles for loss 23, and pressures with 60. He's the only player with at least 13 sacks in each of the last 3 seasons.
Well, I'm watching all these Steeler highlights against this they really have a pass rush, and they're all healthy. I think we forget how good their defense was until it fell apart.
Right.
They had
major injuries last year.
I don't know what to do with Pittsburgh. Oh, I got a big dilemma on my hands. I'll tell you that, too. Okay. I got a huge dilemma on my hands with the NFL predictions. Huge problem.
All right, well, we'll get to that. But he's definitely deserving of this contract, and they need to get him there. And they really need to get this done before the start of the season because they need him out there. As he's obviously just the numbers I just read and a huge part of that defense. He has the third best odds on Fox Bet to win Defensive Player of the Year as well. Aaron Donald plus 450, Myles Garrett plus 600, and T.J. Watt at plus 800.
He doesn't have the brand of J.J., he may be a more relentless player than his brother. Now, I'm not sure if he's as gifted athletically, but just in terms of a relentless pass rusher, if you didn't know football and watched Pittsburgh play, you could just go, who's that?
He's impossible
to block.
He's very underrated.
He's an unbelievably underrated player. Baker's not the most underrated player in that division.
Speaking of underrated,
oh boy.
There are big expectations for the Browns this year following a successful 2020 season, and the hype is strong for the team as a whole. But Pro Football Focus doesn't think Baker Mayfield is getting the love he deserves as an individual player. Oh, they compiled their all underrated team for 2021, and Baker was selected as the quarterback for the all underrated team.
Number one pick. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that you can ever be underrated as the number one overall pick in the draft. I think you retire that moniker the moment that happens.
You're rated highly. But the minute you're a number one
you're
pick.
The number one overall pick in the draft. The Heisman winner.
If I said to you,
he finished second to Saquon Barkley in Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2018.
So he's won awards. He's got commercials.
He's very rated.
Very rated.
If you ask me
quarterbacks who are underrated, Derek Carr by a mile.
I would say Derek Carr.
He is swimming in chaos.
I kind of think it's fair to say Ryan Tannehill at this point.
I think that's totally fair. Ryan Tannehill's underrated. Now, I don't know if it's Arthur Smith or Ryan Tannehill. But I think those two jump out to me as underrated quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks who are not rated.
Well, I mean, Lamar Jackson.
He was underrated, and then he won MVP, so not underrated anymore.
Okay, fair. That's fair. That's fair to say. Who is under? I think Derek Carr's in his own class. Tannehill's fair. I don't know if there's. Let's be honest. Most of these quarterbacks get nothing but love all day.
Right.
They're not underrated.
That's what I'm saying.
There's not a lot of underrated.
I'm trying to think of guys like Kyler Murray, can't say that.
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo, can't say that. He's been injured, so the criticisms of him are fair.
I think PFF whiffed on that. He's not underrated.
I mean, maybe until the Cowboys paid Dak, I think Dak was an underrated quarterback.
You could make the argument from a productivity standpoint, Dak is underrated. I think that he'd be my third.
But then the Cowboys paid him. So
yes.
I would say then he's now rated. There's a point where you have to retire that title. And when you're the number one overall pick, and this is not an attack on Baker. Baker didn't offer himself
up for this.
Well,
Cleveland's very insecure.
Rating.
They think everybody's always after
him. Baker didn't nominate himself for this thing.
Right,
this was given to him and we are just responding to it. I just don't think it's a realistic title to say someone who is the number one overall pick in the draft is underrated.
If you go to synonyms of underrated, it's unnoticed and unrecognized. Once you're a number one pick, you're no longer underrated. You're rated.
Yeah,
you are recognized.
Progressive commercials, Hulu commercials.
Right, you're rated.
You're with Nike and Body Armor, Nissan. Like, you're on the grid. We know who you are.
Are you done?
Yes.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
This always cracks me up. So the two quarterbacks that Joy and I we don't necessarily buy are Tua and Drew Locke. There's something there. I mean, they're obviously playing in the NFL. They've played. They've started. But it's so funny about this. I always crack up. Like, I understand fans are fanatics. Totally get it. We love you. I watch college football this weekend. All sports need fans. But don't you think it's kind of crazy that the Dolphins were in on Deshaun Watson, according to multiple sources, and the Broncos chose Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Locke? So the Dolphins and the Broncos have issues and concerns about Tua and Drew Lock. I always cracks me up when fans are like, you media people, turn that emotion onto your teams. Miami and Denver have questions. We're just voicing the concerns publicly. So all you Drew Lock fanboys and Tua fanboys, take it up with your team.
I would argue the teams are voicing concerns publicly as well.
Miami didn't even deny the trade rumors. Didn't even deny them.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can deny if there's actually been an inquiry made. Like, if it's truly not true, then you can come out and say that didn't happen. But, you know, Flores is going to say this is our guy, but he didn't outright deny it either.
Okay, here's a stat that is, it really eliminates you from winning the Super Bowl. There's one stat in the league last 10 years. This takes you out. You can't do it. That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear. 7 degrees cooler, dry release fabric blend, 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/herd. TommyJohn.com/HERD. Believe it or not, there is one number, just one, in the last decade that takes you out of Super Bowl contention. You're not going to win with this number. Now you're thinking number of fumbles, number of sacks allowed, your quarterback throws so many interceptions. No. It's what percentage of your quarterback salary, what's the cap hit? How much of your salary does he eat? 2011 to 2020, 10 years. The only quarterback that's won a Super Bowl with a cap hit over 12 is Tom Brady, done it twice, 12.3 and 12.2. And we know he takes pay cuts. He never takes the full boat. By the way, if you get into the 11%, you have to be a Manning, Cooper or Peyton. So it becomes very, Peyton or Eli. So you to get over 12, you got to be Tom Brady, and he takes pay cuts. And you're over 11, you got to be Peyton or Eli Manning. Meaning, you can't do it, at least to this point, over a certain number, because you literally don't have the pieces elsewhere. So what does that mean? So I took like 10 or 11 teams that I think they're somewhere around the Super Bowl bubble. Like, I consider these playoff teams. Russell Wilson, 17.4%. See ya. Aaron Rodgers, 14.5%. See ya. By the way, Seattle's O-line, still suboptimal. Green Bay's defense, not great. Plus, their worst offensive line in years. Borderline, you're close. Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, and Dak Prescott, all in the high 10 or 11%. The teams that are in good spaces, Tampa and Brady, Buffalo and Josh, Cleveland and Baker, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, and Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. I have Dallas in there. I don't really consider them a Super Bowl team, but I have them in the playoffs. But these are a lot of what I consider teams good enough to win. Seattle, Green Bay, Colts, Rams, Tampa, Buffalo, Cleveland, Kansas City, Baltimore. I think Chargers are one of the steals in the league. They've really shored up their O-line. There's your numbers. Don't kid yourself. There's a reason that Brady has such a surplus of good defensive linemen and linebackers. He's 5.8% of the cap hit.
It's fascinating because Dak has been paid and Mahomes has been paid and Josh Allen has been paid.
Yes, and you just keep pushing that money down the road so you can. By the way, it'll get more difficult going forward.
Yes, for some of them.
But I mean, you know, the one that jumps out at you is Russell Wilson's making 17.4% of his money. That's almost double the cap hit that you'd prefer. And by the way, it's triple Brady's cap hit this year. It's six times Baker and Lamar's cap hit. So again, it's just Seattle is talented. Seattle is very much the Rams. A handful of great players, but they're thin in spots. And they're not, Seattle cannot afford an injury to like four players. They do not have a ton of depth on this roster. At corner, they are thin. O-line, they are thin.
I think this little nugget of information, I think, is a really strong argument for playing your young quarterback sooner.
Well, that's a very good point. So that's the dilemma with Jordan Love. So if you don't pay Jordan Love this year, okay, you've wasted 2 years. You're paying him Baker salary, even lower because he got drafted lower. So that's the thing about drafting. When you moved up to get Jordan Love, it's a really dumb pick if you're not going to play him.
Right.
Because next year, Aaron's a $46 million cap hit. Now, even if you trade Aaron, I think he's a $20 million cap hit. But Jordan makes nothing, so that's not a punitive quarterback cap hit. It's not 15%. But if you're going to move up to get Jordan Love, you have to play him fairly quickly, or you've just wasted the opportunity, which has been the reason Seattle won a Super Bowl.
Right.
The reason, I mean, if you start looking at Kansas City now, there's a reason they can rebuild their offensive line and pay a fortune for two of the guys, because Mahomes isn't a big cap hit. Like, that's the number in the NFL nobody wants to talk about. Like, I think Seattle's good, but your quarterback's almost a 18% cap hit. So I mean,
that's tough for me to swallow. Seattle was my like sleeper.
Yes, they got seven Super Bowl Pro Bowlers, pick. But Seattle is one of those teams that literally, if Dwayne Brown or Bobby Wagner is hurt, you're done. Green Bay's the same thing. If Devontae Adams is hurt, you're done. You're just not dynamic enough offensively, and you're not special enough defensively. So that's why I know you all are rooting for Baker Mayfield, but Baker and Lamar and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Now's the time, because those guys are all good enough. They're supporting casts. You look at Lamar. Look at Lamar's roster, Baker's roster, Buffalo's roster. Those have very few.
Josh has been paid.
Yeah, but he has. I would say if the kids they drafted are as good as I think, they've really attacked their D-line the last two drafts. Young guys, if some of them start popping, Buffalo, because that was Buffalo's nightmare last year. They couldn't get to opposing quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers marched up and down the field in the playoff against them. So there's the number. By the way, I saw this. There was a interesting story about John Gruden. Mike Mayock said a week ago, we got to win. And so somebody, a reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal, Vinny Bonsignore, I hope I pronounced it right. I've talked to him before. Basically, Gruden said, I don't feel pressure. The owner will tell me if there's pressure. First of all, let me state this. Everybody in my business should be rooting for the Raiders. They're interesting. There's chaos. It's a great brand. What has happened it's kind of remarkable how much more popular football is than I could argue basketball in America. Football for the last 20 years has been largely predictable. Alabama and New England. And neither one of those, New England or Alabama, was star-studded in terms of personality. I mean, they're both like factories, right? Like New England, no days off. Alabama's the same thing. The coach is the star. The players aren't the star at Alabama. And it is amazing if you start looking at how popular football's become. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's the erosion of other sports. I don't know. But the NFL's never been more popular. In college football, the ratings this weekend are huge. And it's been incredibly predictable for the last 20 years. 10 in college, well, 14 with Alabama, and 20 in the NFL. Gruden's interesting. I think the NFL and college, I've always said this about college football, they need an LA team to be good and the Miami Hurricanes. Those are big city teams. I don't care if it's UCLA, USC, or the Miami Hurricanes. The sport now feels very southern, very small town, very insular. It needs Texas. It needs Sark. It needs UCLA and Chip Kelly. It needs Miami. It needs flavor. It needs personality. College football needs more personality. That's what it needs. And yet it's flourishing without it. And I think all of us, I mean, there's three things Joey and I always root for: interesting, chaos, and more chaos.
Good quarterback play.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty it. And so, and the Raiders have the quarterback play. So nobody's rooting. If you really know what you're doing in our business, we're rooting for the Raiders. I mean, let's be honest. It's nothing against Oakland. But good God, they were tarping off the upper deck. The stadium was the bad. It's like, no, Vegas, when they show a picture of that stadium, which Joy was in this weekend, it feels huge. It's gigantic. It's just a shimmering light in the middle of the desert. All right. Jersey Mike sub. They got a new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss. It's good. It's fresh. It sizzles. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. We got a great third hour planned. It's the Herd.